Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Hello, everyone. I've been away from Mac Folklore Radio for a while, but things are back in production. I'd like to thank James and John for mentioning Mac Folklore Radio on their podcast, The Retro MacCast, which I highly recommend you check out at www.retromaccast.com. I have to warn you, though, that if your appetite for Macintosh history is anything like mine, you might want to set aside your day off work to listen to all the episodes. Thank you for staying subscribed. Here's today's story. You Guys Are in Big Trouble, by Andy Hertzfeld, August 1982. By the spring of 1982, the Mac team was growing so rapidly that we had to move from Texaco Towers back to the main part of the Apple campus. We moved into Bandley 4, a medium-sized building across the street from Apple's main office. One of the things that I liked best about Bandley 4 was that the software team was in the very back of the building. We could go out the back door for quick access to the parking lot, or we could play basketball without having to walk all the way around the building. This worked out well for a couple of months, but eventually the facilities group decided to put an alarm on the back door so we couldn't come and go quite as freely. Even though the alarm system wasn't set until 5:30 p.m., that didn't really help me since I usually went for dinner after 7, often returning to work for another few hours afterwards. The alarm became a major annoyance since it made me walk significantly out of my way a few times every day. Every once in a while, after hours, someone would forget that the alarm was there and walk out the door anyway. The alarm would produce a head-splitting wail, destroying any chance of concentration until a security guard arrived to disarm it, which sometimes took more than 10 minutes. I complained about the alarm every way that I knew how, but to no avail. About one quarter of the software team worked late, and the alarm was unnecessary while we were there, so I begged the facilities supervisor not to turn it on until after midnight, even offering to arm it ourselves when the last person left. But my pleas fell on deaf ears. Every couple of months, Bud Tribble would come down from Seattle and visit with us. We'd show him the latest work we were doing so he could offer his suggestions. Late one afternoon, he showed up in the software area and we all gathered around to give a demo to Bud as well as Bill Atkinson and Steve Jobs. Bill had done some neat, high-resolution scans with an improved dithering algorithm and he wanted to show them to Bud. They were on his hard disk in the Lisa building, so he ran out the back door to get it. It was after 5:30, so that set off the alarm, and a horrible loud pulsating noise filled the room. The wailing went on for at least 3 minutes before Steve yelled out, "Can't someone figure out how to stop that thing?" I saw a chance to vanquish my nemesis. "Are we allowed to damage it to get it to stop?" I asked him. "Yes, do anything you want. I don't care if you break it. Just get the damn thing to stop!" Bruce Horn and I ran over to the nearby hardware lab and picked up every tool we could find. I grabbed a hammer and a screwdriver and proceeded to pound the screwdriver into the center of the alarm, driving a stake through the demon's heart. The screwdriver went all the way through to the other side, but the alarm kept sounding. Finally, Bruce took over and gave the screwdriver a mighty twist, and the siren flew apart into a half dozen pieces and fell to the ground. The horrible noise finally stopped. At that very moment, a grizzled security guard entered the back door just in time to see us cheering as the wrecked alarm finally gave up the ghost. He looked at us, our tools of destruction still in our guilty hands, and said, "You guys are in big trouble. Who's in charge here? You better show me your badge." Steve stepped forward and handed the guard his badge. "I'll take responsibility for this," he told him. The guard scrutinized Steve's badge. He looked back and forth between Steve and his badge a few times. Finally, he shrugged his shoulders, picked up the pieces of the broken alarm, and walked away without saying another word. We were gleeful that the alarm was gone, but exactly 1 week later, a new one was put in its place, and it stayed there even after we moved to Bandley 3 a few months later. I'm not sure why, but not even Steve could get them to set the alarm for a later time.